Please be seated as we continue our worship. What a friend. I like the analogies. God has created all things ultimately point to Him. And you think of some of the good friends that you have had in your life. Probably one of the biggest joys, one of the biggest comforts to have a friend, have a best friend. You can think back through your life and see those times when God just brought somebody into your life to share your life with, and one day you married her. Right? How much more greater is Jesus, our friend? All those descriptions of Him in that hymn, a friend, He's our friend, our strength, no strength of our own. He's our help, our guide, our keeper. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Today's exhortation comes from Romans 5, 1 to 5. If you turn there in your Bible, I'll read again the first five verses of Romans chapter 5. Hear the word of our living God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let us give God thanks for His word. Father, we thank You that we can hear Your word, that You have given us an understanding of Your word. We pray once again that You will cause Your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword to pierce into our minds, into our hearts, and that it would further shape us into the image of Christ. Help this to be more than just knowledge, but help it saturate our souls and our hearts. And we know these words will accomplish Your purposes. And we thank You in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. So we are blessed in our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to pray. We need to read. We need to meditate upon the Scriptures, to be able to understand that relationship, to remember that relationship, to rejoice in that relationship, the relationship we have with Almighty God through the Son. All the gracious benefits that have been given to us in the Son. Could you list them? Right? Could you list them? Could you list all the benefits that we have been given in Christ Jesus? In Him we have many benefits. And again, taking the example of your mom, we could take the example of the baby in the room, all the attention being given to her, all of her needs being met. What about Christ and our relationship with Him? Romans 5, 1 through 5 lists five different benefits for those who have been justified by faith. And they're all through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. That only makes sense if at a certain time there wasn't peace. We have access to God. Remember when they were thrown out of the garden? Remember the angels with the flaming swords barring their entrance back into the garden? But now we have access. We have hope in the glory of God. You have hope in the glory of God. Not everybody has hope. Some people have a short-term hope. Some people have no hope. And it leads them to depression, leads them to suicide. But we have hope no matter what the struggles, no matter what the tribulations come our way. We have hope that there's an end, that one day the glory of the Lord will be revealed. We have the love of God. Not just in words, but in deeds. Later on it talks about He's demonstrated His love to us. And here in Romans 5:1-5 it says about His love being poured out into our hearts. Not our love for Him, but His love for us as His people through the Son. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Not everybody has that. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you're not His. So all these benefits that we have, it all accompanies justification by faith. Right? I think a lot of times people think the book of Romans stops at chapter 4, where he kind of makes this transition from justification to sanctification. But justification never rides alone. It never comes solo. We have all these other benefits, and we could take a long time unpacking all of them in chapters 5 through 8. Right here in this section, as I already said, we have peace with God. We have access to God. We have hope in God. We have the love of God. We have the Spirit of God. It's all a package deal, right? You don't get some of them if you're a Christian. You get all of them. And these are vital to know during this time between our justification and our glorification. I bet you if we took a quiz of even Reformed Christians, right? Pretty clear understanding of justification. Pretty clear understanding of the end, glorification. Well, what about that time in between? I think that's where the difficult time comes. Paul lists all these benefits of our justification because he's preparing us for our sanctification. Preparing us. You prepare? You prepare when you take a trip? Your son, your daughter, they take a trip and you make sure they are prepared? What about this trip of sanctification? Are you prepared? Do you have an understanding of the peace of God, the access to God, the hope in God that we have, the love of God, the Spirit of God? Paul is preparing us for this massive theological truth that justification and sanctification are welded together, right? You get one, you get the other. They're inseparably bound together. That's right, when you talk to people and they say, oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no evidence of any sanctification. There's no evidence of any change in their life. But we know when you're justified, you will be sanctified. We're not only saved from the guilt of our sin, we've talked about that today already in the forgiveness of our sins, but also the power of sins in our life. Saved not only from the guilt of sin, but also the power of sin in our lives. What a topic. What a topic. The power of sin in our lives. Sin no longer has dominion, but it still exercises a mighty power in our lives. We as Christians know this better than anybody. One theologian, one pastor said, preachers who say, come to Jesus and all your problems will be over, is flat out liars. He said his problems didn't begin until he became a Christian. You become a Christian, you know what's true. You know what's right. You know how far you fall short of what's right. the power of sin, it keeps us humble. What adjective could we use for ourselves? Humble? Humble? That's not a popular adjective in our culture. But that's good. Because God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Now that we are justified through the merits of Christ alone and received by faith alone, now we are being conformed into the image of Christ. That is God's purpose for our lives. I don't know if you think that. You think? I try to remember when I'm sitting where you're sitting, and I think of all other kinds of purposes that I have for my life. Sometimes it could be as simple as a nap. Sometimes it could be as simple of, I'm 55, how much longer to retirement? How comfortable can I make that? And then you come to the Scriptures and you're confronted by your Creator, by the living God, and you understand He has other purposes for us. I think too many times we've heard the preaching of the American dream. Right? People talk about different kinds of thought, postmodern thought, all these sophisticated philosophical teachings. And then I look and I say, you know what I've been affected by? Been affected by the American dream. The white picket fence. June Cleaver in my kitchen. Kids that just adore me. A nice retirement. I mean, it started in school, right? Get a good education, go to college so you can have a better job. A better life, right? That stuff was preached to us again and again and again. And sometimes you come into Christianity and we drag that into our Christianity. And then we start measuring our Christianity by the American dream. Even that's kind of arrogant right there, huh? The American dream? It's not the American dream, it's the United States dream. America's big. America's North America and South America. The USA is just a small part of America, but so it's the USA dream. I don't know. Well, I can look at you based on your age and probably where you are at in that dream. But again, God's purpose, that we would be conformed into the image of His Son. We read an article, my wife and I, a couple of weeks ago, and it just knocked me to the ground. It made my mouth open. There's one guy in Los Angeles County, one guy, think of how many millions of people live in LA County. And there's one guy, and he fosters terminally ill children. He fosters terminally ill children. If that's not a picture of Christianity, I don't know what is. We weren't even terminally ill. We were dead and brought into the family of God. And we see this man doing these things, not even a Christian. But you look at that, and then you kind of look at certain dreams that you have and you're like, saying, man, are these God's dreams for my life? Or is this the USA dream for my life? We're being conformed into the image of the one who said, I always do those things which please my Father. Which please my Father. That's the image. That's where we're being taken. Right? Starts right here, Sunday morning. I do those things which please my Father. I come to worship. I do not forsake the assembling of myself because I want to do those things to please my Father. Do you know who my Father is? Do you know what my Father has done for me? Yes, I struggle with it. But like the Catechism says, with earnest purpose, I desire to do those things. And then we have to understand we don't do that in our own strength. Right? And I think that's where Paul is going in Romans 5:5-8. What benefits belong to us in this journey? Lord willing, I'm just going to focus on one today. One theologian, you know, you just see it's a few words. And you just think, oh, I can cover that in a paragraph or two. And then he talked about opening. He kind of said it like, oh, it's a little closet. I'm gonna cover access with God. I'm gonna come open up the closet, tell everyone what's in the closet, and then move forward. And then he said he opened the closet and he looked in there, and he said it was like a cave full of treasure. When you consider the enormity that we have access with God. In Romans 5:2, at the beginning, it says, through whom, through Christ also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What this is saying is that we are justified by faith. It introduces us into the presence of God. And we have access into a personal relationship with God. You'll note verse 2 begins with, through whom. Romans 5:2, through whom? And the whom refers to Jesus Christ at the end of verse 1. And last week I said that phrase is used repetitively, right, in Romans 5. All these benefits come through us through Jesus Christ. The only way to have access to God is through Jesus Christ. He has the exclusive monopoly on access into a relationship with God the Father. When I first heard that we can only have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ, that there's only one mediator with God the Father, I wasn't offended. You know, it's interesting when you look back at your responses to things, and my response was, that's true. You know what you call that? Call that a believer. You know where belief comes from? Belief comes from God the Spirit. He has the exclusive monopoly onto access into a relationship with God the Father. He says through whom, and the next word is important too, it says also, which means this is a package deal. This is inseparable. If you have peace with God, we will also automatically have access to God. The order is very important. If we didn't have peace with God, we would not want access to God. We would be trying to get away from God if we didn't have peace with Him. But because first we have peace with God, now second, what a blessing this is to come into His presence. And we are received and we can come into His presence with confidence. Now notice the next words, through whom also we. The we refers to all believers. This isn't just for some believers. This isn't for an upper tier level of believers. You ever take a flight and you're sitting there as all the other important people are getting on the plane, right? And you're like kind of at the end of the alphabet. It's not this way. It's not this way with Christians. It belongs to all of us. This is for every single believer in Jesus Christ. We have all obtained this. Notice the verb. He says, we have access. We have already received this. This is a verb tense that indicates this is a past action with continuing result. We have obtained it. We obtained it the moment we exercised faith in Jesus Christ. At that moment, we obtained our introduction or our access to God the Father. Romans 5:2, through whom also we have access. It means a privileged access. to come face to face before someone, before someone that previously we had no access to. Previously we had no access to. Makes you think of the border. People come. I've gone to Mexico. Come back to the border. I know I have access. I have my ID. I have my passport. Come right in. There's some people, they don't have access. The same thing with God the Father. They have no access to Him. As believers, we have that access. Also in Ephesians 2:18, we see this same word. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It says, through Him. That refers to Jesus Christ again. Through Him, we both. Both represent both Jews and Gentiles. We have our access. There's our word right there. In one Spirit to the Father. Please notice the Trinitarian focus here. We come through the Son, in the Spirit, to the Father. That's essentially how our prayers work. This is how worship works. When you come to these scriptures and you come to these truths, does it just convey to you how rich we truly are? And again, comparing it to the American, I gotta stop saying that, the USA dream. How rich are we compared to everything, everybody else, you know, the things everybody else has? Even non-material things. But how rich we are to have this access. Who's probably enjoying the USA today more than anybody else? Probably those who at one time had no access. People come from the Middle East. Come and live here. Enjoy the peace that we have. I think sometimes because we're born here, we don't really appreciate, one of the elders brought it up in our prayers today, the freedom that we have to come. What about the freedom that we have to come to our God? We come to the Father through the Son and the Spirit. The Spirit draws us to the Father. And the only way we can access the Father is by coming through the Son. It's a very important verse. The imagery is here of a king who does not allow access to commoners. Go get a meeting with the President of the United States. See how that works for you. One-on-one meeting. You know, in the middle of the night, go get access. I mean, I've been in bigger churches, try to get access to the pastor. Have a one-on-one with him. Probably not gonna happen. So the imagery here is of a king who does not allow access to commoners. Farmers, blacksmiths would never be allowed into the palace, would never be allowed into the throne room, would never be allowed to have an audience with a king. That would be reserved for a very few. And you would have to be of an elite status. That's what this word access signifies, that we have privileged access to come before the Father through the Son and the Spirit. We can bring our prayers. We can come before the Father and bring our praise and worship. We can come before the Father and have fellowship with Him. Him speaking to us in His Word. Us being able to understand it by the Spirit. I think sometimes people just don't get us because they're not reading the same book. It just changed your whole view of the world. That's what he says in Romans. Right? Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a very privileged access to come before the sovereign King of heaven and earth. In Ephesians 3:12, he uses this word again, access. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. In whom, the whom refers to Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 11, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. The Him refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is implied that the access is to the Father as we have exercised faith in Jesus Christ. And an extraordinary thing to have access into the presence of God the Father. Back in Romans 5:2, this access, this word paints a picture in our minds of being able to approach God the Father and to be received. And again, I think if you're not reading the same book, you might just think everybody has that access. That we could just have a prayer meeting, inter-religious prayer meeting. If you're sincere in your faith, God will hear you. You can be sincere, and your prayers will receive no entrance unless they come in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to ask for when you come? What do we ask for? That Jesus would be the center of our universe? That we would take all things we have and put it in its proper orbit around Him? The way I conduct myself in my marriage, the way I conduct myself as a parent, get that into proper orbit around the sun. Shouldn't say around the sun, through the Spirit, under the direction of the Word. How do I work in my life? Put that in its proper orbit. How do I treat my money? Put that in proper orbit around the sun because of all that He's done for us. And when it's not, even that's a blessing. Because we can identify in saying, this is not in orbit around the triune God the way it should be. And Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. How many times have we uttered those words? But we have that access to Him. As we approach God the Father, we come boldly. We come with great confidence that we will gladly be received by Him. Kind of funny the images that you can have. You know those people in your life when you pull up to their house and they see you and they greet you with a big old smile and a warm hug? Or is it that look like, oh man, they're here. How are we received in Christ? That's the sole prerequisite to have that access. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we have access to the Father. And the word faith has been the emphasis. You'll note in verse 1, having been justified by faith. The only way that we may access God the Father is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now by faith into this grace. Now we would expect that it would say access into the presence of God the Father. Instead, it says into this grace. What Paul is wanting to emphasize is that none of us have any claim in and of ourselves to come into the presence of God the Father. It is exclusively by grace that we come. And it is into this grace that we stand as we come before the Father. Grace, as you know, it's free, it's unmerited, it's undeserved, that God extends toward unworthy, undeserving sinners in Christ. Grace denotes the state or the realm into which God's justifying work transfers us as believers. We know we have been moved into the realm of God's grace. I don't I don't know, were you the aggressive one or the passive aggressive one? Not exactly sure, you know which one. I was more the passive aggressive type. And sometimes I would see people who had exercise, who had authority over me, and I would see them and I'd kind of put my eyes down, kind of like thinking, I'm in trouble. The week you've lived, this past week, we don't come based on our works. We come based on His grace. Again and again and again. And even if we've had a good week, it's because of His grace. You'll notice it says, in which we stand. The word stand is very important. It means to be made to stand. It means never to be ushered out of God's presence. It means never to fall away from grace. It means never to fall out of grace. That we will forever stand in this grace. He is able to make us stand in His grace. We know all the grace that He's given us. Electing grace. Predestinating grace. Redeeming grace. Reconciling grace. Propitiating grace. Regenerating grace, sanctifying grace, it's securing grace. It's the whole package from eternity past to eternity future. You know, you go get a car, you get the cheap one, or you get the one with all the bells and whistles. As Christians, we come and we get it all. There's not an upper tier, there's not the pastors, and then there's us. We get it all. We step into the favored, privileged realm of grace as we access God the Father. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 12, we have to remember where we came from. I want us to be reminded of where we once were before we were allowed this access into the inner throne room where God is. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In Ephesians 2:12 it says, you were without Christ. We were separated from Him and there was an insurmountable chasm that separated us from Christ. Those of you who grew up outside of Christ like me, and it's funny, you never knew it. You never knew it. I had by the world's standards, a pretty good life. I had a childhood that was just fantastic. And then someone brought grace. I was so far off, and someone brought near. I mean, I think some bands, they sing it pretty good, right? Having a good life, but on the highway to hell. And then we were brought near by the grace of Christ. Verse 19, it says, you are no longer strangers and aliens. That means we were once strangers and aliens. You know anybody who's an alien? You know anybody who doesn't belong here? My wife wasn't a citizen when I married her. She had a resident alien card. What a day of rejoicing when she did become a citizen. Verse 19, it says, you are no longer strangers and aliens. Means we were once strangers and aliens. We were once foreigners. We were once outsiders on the outside of the kingdom of God. We had no citizenship in the kingdom of God. We were aliens, which is a pretty strong word. And that means we were outcast. We were without any citizenship in the land. We were strangers to the realm of grace. We were an outcast from the kingdom of God because of our sin. And it's only by faith in Christ we obtain our entrance and our access into the very presence of God. We were banned from entering into a relationship with God. But justification now gives us this access into the present. It's undeserved access. None of us in and of ourselves have any basis whatsoever to come into the inner throne room except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a permanent access. We will never be expelled. We will never be cast out. This access has been secured forever. Good days, bad days, days when we're walking in obedience, days when there's disobedience in our lives. It's a permanent access. It's a constant access. It's open to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's never a time when it's not open to us. It's anticipatory. Meaning one day in our future home in glory, we will come immediately before the presence of God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's comforting news. 100 years from now, we're not going to be here. I heard one pastor say, I'm not concerned where you're going to be 10 years from now. I'm concerned where you're going to be 100 years from now. This present spiritual access is anticipatory of one day in heaven when we will come immediately before the throne of grace. And it will not just be in our heart, it will also be in a glorified body. It's good to get older because you see time pass. I can remember being in middle school, I think, and we used to go to a lot of Ram games in the Coliseum. And they said, I don't know what year it was, 76, 77, 78. And they said the Olympics were coming to Los Angeles in 1984. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to be out of high school in 1984. That's never going to come. Man, it's long gone. They're supposed to come in 2028, right? So you have that experience of one thing passing, and then you can bring it into this spiritual realm. And sometimes it seems like it's never going to come. But one day in eternity, we're going to look back and we're going to say, it's here. Praise God. With glorified feet, we'll approach the throne of grace. With glorified knees, we will bow before Him. With glorified eyes, we will look upon Him. With a glorified tongue, we will give Him praises. So this present access within our heart right now is anticipatory of that day when the full realization of this access will be realized. It's an unspeakable privilege. Do we ignore it? In conclusion, our justification is not just about our forgiveness or the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. It's not just about escaping the judgment of divine wrath, though it includes all that. In our justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing when the pastor raises his hand and pronounces that blessing upon us? We have peace with God that passes all human understanding. Objective peace, many times subjective, but always objective. In our justification, while we were once barred admittance into the immediate presence of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, now we are called to enter into His presence boldly. And don't always think of it as present tense. It's right now. As we come to meet, as we come to sit under His Word, as we come to pray to Him, as we come and confess our sins to Him, why He uses men to be an instrument of His Word. I think if you talk to any pastor, they're just confused by that. God does it perfectly. Any good pastor would say they do not do it perfectly. They have a small beginning. But that's the way God has ordained it. I think most of them would say, I don't want to stand here. I think most of them would say, but I am compelled to stand here. It's impossible for me not to stand here. Because God has called them to that. That's who we're praying for, right? That man who would stand here. Because God has called him to stand here. Getting back to us, in the middle of our worship, as we access Him, we're dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. It's the most unmerited favor that any sinner can experience, is the grace of being allowed into the presence of God. So let me conclude with Romans 5, 1 through 12. These are God's Word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the access that You have provided for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We confess our sins and not coming to You as we should come, by getting distracted and not considering all the benefits that we have been given through Christ Jesus our Lord. So once again, we thank You in Christ Jesus. Amen.